Archibald snap-linked himself to the control panel of the nuke and spent a lot of time motionless, which probably meant he was reading the instructions on the virtual screen inside his face mask and going through checklists. After a while, he got to work deploying some long poles that ended up sticking out from one side of the nuke like spines. Petals blossomed from near their ends, blocking our view of whatever was on the tips of those poles. Archibald returned to the control panel and worked for a few moments, then informed us,
"I have powered up the reactor. Avoid the ends of the poles. They are hot."
"Hot, as in radioactive?" Jessery asked.
"No, hot as in ouch. They are where the system radiates its waste heat into space."
Then, after a pause,
"But they are also radioactive."
No one said anything. But I'm sure I wasn't the only one who checked his oxygen supply. The water was now being split into hydrogen and oxygen. In a few hours, we'd be able to replace our depleted air and fuel supplies and swap used for fresh scrubbers at the tender. Until then, we had to take it easy and share what we had with others who needed it more. Esma, for example, had been responsible for scavenging water from payloads and had used up a lot of her oxygen. Leo said,
"Everyone except Saman and Gratho drink, eat, and sleep. If you absolutely can't sleep, review coming tasks. Saman and Gratho, connect us."
Saman and Gratho clambered free of their monofiques and took to shinnying around the payload tangle. They found some kind of magic box, broke it free from the mess, and got it lashed into a position where it enjoyed a clear line of sight down to Arb. A few minutes later, Saman announced that we were on the reticulum. But I already suspected that based on new lights and G-jaw displays that had begun to flourish in my peripheral vision.
"Hello, Frau Rasmus. This is Cell 87, said a voice in my ears. "Can you hear me?"
"Yes, Tullia, I can hear you fine. Good morning, or whatever it is where you are."
"Evening," she said. "We're in the equipment shed of a farm about 1,000 miles southwest of Tredegar. What took you guys so long?"
"We were enjoying the view and having a party," I said. "How have you been spending the time? What is it that Cell 87 does in that equipment shed?"
"Whatever makes things easier for you."
"Tullia, I've hardly ever known you to be so helpful, so compliant. Looks like you need to urinate. What's the holdup?"
"I'll get right on it."
"Any particular reason your pulse is so rapid?"
"Gosh, I don't know. Let me think."
"Spare me," she said. "Here's a picture of the mess you're in. Check it out while you're peeing."
And just like that, my screen was filled with a three-dimensional rendering of a big silver sphere with a mess of struts, fuzzballs, and color-coded payloads tucked up against one side of it.
"Here's where you are."
My name flashed in yellow.
"Here's where you need to be."
A payload began flashing on the other side of the mess.
We worked out the most efficient route.
A line snaked through, linking my name to the destination.
"That doesn't look so efficient," I began.
She cut me off.
"There's stuff you don't know. Each of the others in your cell has to follow a different route to a different payload. This one is optimized to minimize interference."
"I stand corrected." A flashing red box appeared about halfway along my route.
"What's the red thing?" I asked.
She conferred with someone in the equipment shed, then answered, "One of the payloads has a sharp corner you'll want to avoid. No worries, we'll talk you through it."
"Gosh, thanks."
Rustling papers, she announced,
"I'm going to talk you through the process of unstrapping yourself from the S-235B.
Up here we call it a monofique."
"Whatever. Move your right hand up to the buckle above your left collarbone